Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special loadout edition of the Warhounds podcast. Today, we have myself, community manager Tubbsy, What the Flux, our old collector gamer. I'm not sure what to call you anymore.
He's our media manager.
Yeah, and
get off my lawn. Yeah.
Leadhead, our clan relations guy. And then we've got a very special guest. Some of you may know him, and if you don't, you probably want to take a chance and get to know him. He's a good guy. Arctic from Team Amazing.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Good, good, good.
The Warhounds is a gaming community founded on the principle of never having to play alone. We primarily play on Xbox, but I've been known to dabble in some PC games from time to time. If you like what you hear and would like to join us, please visit www.warhounds.net. Register and apply. We don't care how well you play, but how well you play with others. This is, like I said, it's a very special loadout edition. Arctic is a big part of loadout. If you guys don't know much about it, we're going to sit here and talk to Arctic about it. He's going to give us some information on it. I've looked at this quite a bit, and I've been very excited by following Arctic on Twitter. First off, Arctic, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay, so most of you guys know me in the competitive gaming scene as Arctic. It's my alias with Team Amazing. We competed in Gears of War quite a bit and some other games, Battlefield and stuff like that. More recently, I'd say within the last year and a half, 2 years, I've been working with Edge of Reality. It's a game studio that I work at on an upcoming free-to-play shooter, third-person shooter for Steam. Name of that game is called Loadout, and I'm the community manager at the studio. So I'm the community manager for Edge of Reality.
So, okay, the beta started going out. Was it Friday that it started going out?
Yeah, so right now we're in a really limited closed beta. I'd say there's less than 100 people playing in it right now. You can say it's kind of like a friends and family of sorts. There's some guys that aren't necessarily friends and family, but they're also in the beta as well. And we're having a gradual rollout over the course of this month and into September. We'll be letting more people in. Initially we were going to have the beta start in July, but we weren't satisfied with how the network was functioning, and so we revamped it, and we're a lot more we're a lot happier with the results right now.
We haven't really touched on what Loadout is. Let's get a... It's a cel-shaded multiplayer free-to-play game. You said it's on Steam, correct? Mm-hmm. And then you can probably download it from their website. You're probably better off downloading it from Steam if you have a lot of friends on Steam. It's multiplayer only, right?
Multiplayer only. So the crux, the biggest selling factor of Loadout is the ability to create your own weapons. And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I mean, really it's always funny at the last few conventions and expos that we've gone to see people's reaction when you say, yeah, you can create your own weapon, and they're like, yeah right, you're giving me shit, you're full of shit, you can't create your own weapon, you can change like one or two parts. Like most of the games that are out right now say, hey, you can create weapons. You can change one part, or like a scope or the barrel of the gun, and it changes like the attributes a little bit, or you get like +1 or +5. When I say you can create your own weapons, you can literally create your own weapons. The robust weapon system. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I'm a part of the studio. I mean, it's really a game changer in my opinion. Just the sheer amount of weapons you can create, and the variety that it offers. Some examples. I mean, whenever I do my presentation, because I usually do a little bit of weapon crafting, and then I'll walk people through in multiplayer. But when you go into weapon crafting, you can have like, are you guys familiar with the charged rockets in Unreal Tournament?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes, I am.
So you can create those. You can create single rockets. You could create guided rockets where you're actually steering the VO of the rocket itself. And then you could change the payload type. So you could have like a normal kinetic, or we call it slug, but that'd be like what you see in modern warfare. And I don't mean the game. I just mean like realistic combat. That's what you see. That's called slug. And then you have like Tesla, which does lightning damage. So that adds another attribute to it. So you could like shock your enemy. And, you know, we have death animations with that. You could do fire, which does like a damage over time after it explodes. You know, the people are on fire for a little bit. You can do healing. So if you want to be a support player, you know, you're not quite good at shooting people, you want to help out your team, you can be a support player. So you can do healing, you could do buffs. It's crazy amount of variety in loadout.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of depth cool. to the customization. How many is what was it? 4v4, 5v5? What are we looking at?
It's currently 6v6. Okay. So you know, there's one map that we had that was our demo map that we've been using, and then we have another one that's right now in the beta that people can play called Fissure, and it's a little bit larger. It's more suitable for 6v6. It's in like an open canyon area. It has like some cliffs and stuff you can fall off of. Really platformy type of map, but it's the 6v6, I guess, go-to map right now.
Okay. And it's first person shooter, right?
Third person.
Third person shooter. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel? Like, I know you're from Gears, and you know that's got a great feel for a third person shooter. How do you feel? Kind of, is it better?
I don't want to make any game comparison. So, I mean, okay,
let's just give us an idea of what it's like. Then.
The art style, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, that looks like Team Fortress 2 because of the cartoony animation, that cel-shaded style.
Yeah.
But when you play it, I'd say it's more like a quick twitch shooter, like an Unreal or a Quake in third person form. It's really smooth. I think people will be really surprised about how smooth it feels. And, you know, a lot of people that have demoed it so far or that are in the beta really comment on that. It's faster than most games. I think the pace of it in terms of, if you want to say Gears, it's a lot faster than Gears of War. But yeah, I mean, it's like an Unreal Tournament, or Quake in terms of game speed, maybe a little bit slower than those. And then obviously it has the cel shaded, art style. And there's actually this quote that our guys love. It was like a movie, Looney Tunes directed by Quentin Tarantino. That's a loadout.
Well, and I've seen some of the death animations, and if you guys haven't seen them, you can go to their website. I'm going to link it in the description like I do with everything else, but I'm going to link that and the YouTube loadout or the loadout's YouTube channel, and you guys can go there and take a look at it. It looks really slick. The death animations are, I think they're comical at times. So definitely something you want to check out. Let's see. About how many maps have you played on so far? Are they developed?
So closed beta, if we count the maps that are currently there, we have the shooting gallery, which is like a test arena. That's a map. You have Fath, which is our like arena style map. And then you have Fissure. And we're working on more, but that's what we have planned right now for beta. I don't know if the team is going to have more by the time, you know, different phases of beta. I'm not sure of the exact schedule for that. But right now there's three maps total if you count the shooting gallery.
Okay. And so you don't know a number of maps?
No, we're definitely working on more. I can say that. Yeah. But, I don't know what the final release number will be when we're out of beta.
Now, are they thinking about doing some DLC maybe down the road, like, you know, release the game, get out so many maps, and then in the meantime, maybe 6 months, a year down the road, release some more DLC for it?
So with free-to-play, I mean, you have to have that in mind. So we plan to support this game as long as we're humanly possible, as long as the community supports it and we can do what we can. But, I mean, we have a pretty long pipeline of DLC and extra content for the game.
Cool, very cool. Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more interested I am, and I've signed up for the beta months ago. Now, I want to kind of talk about the maps a little bit. Like, is there good cover? I mean, you've played, you know, a couple shooters here and there, but
yeah,
just a few. a few. But I mean, it's a, what do you have good cover? I mean, obviously you're talking about speed, faster. You get that like Quake Unreal Tournament feel, or
so. I mean, there is terrain cover that you can use in certain areas, but with this, you want to think more mobility versus I'm going to. I mean, there again, there's some like if you are a guy that likes to use guided missile rockets and you want to sit across the map and kind of just hunker down and turtle, you could play that style of play. But you know, obviously some game types that won't work. We're really objective based. So, you know, if we're playing like Blitz, which is kind of like King of the Hill, and you're sitting there in the back of the base using guided missile rockets, you're not really that effective.
Yeah.
So, I mean, mobility is probably your best bet. There are some things that you can utilize cover on if you, you know, you have like a rifle or something like that. There's different, ways that you can manipulate like right hand or things of that nature, camera positioning.
So are you involved in any of that? I mean, you've got tons of experience with the, you know, they just say, hey, you know, what does, you think this would work a little bit better than this or?
So yeah, I mean, I've had my hand, I'm not like our designer, lead designers, Ian Villeman, and the design team is phenomenal. They have like a, here's a funny thing about Ian. He's actually into competitive Street Fighter. So when you talk about game balance with him and from my stance, you know, he really has a grip on, and a lot of those guys do, on, you know, game balance in itself. But I've offered a few suggestions here and there. Before that, I kind of worked with you testing different bugs and stuff with QA before filling in this community management role. So, I mean, I've had my hand in like game balance stuff, but not like a direct impact in terms of changing different attributes to the game. More so like, hey, you know, I think this is a little overpowered, or I think this map and this specific spot, I think there needs to be like some barrels here for cover or something like that. So that's more of like my involvement so far.
Okay. Very, very cool. I am going to throw you a bit of a curveball, Arctic. I think it's something that as we interview more and more people, I think it's a fun topic to discuss. So I think you'll be our test subject here. I hope you don't mind.
Okay.
Actually, I want to know your guilty pleasure in gaming. Something that you play quite a bit, but don't really want a lot of people to know you play.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
so
there's not too many things that I consider would be guilty pleasure. Let me see. PC-wise, let me see. What do I play that's social? Because it's always the social games now that you want to kind of hide. So maybe Plants vs. Zombies. I kind of play that.
Oh, I love that game. That's cool. Yeah.
I love that game.
It's weird.
It's a little weird. And I'm trying to think of another one that I play that's a little odd. Maybe iPad. Let me think. What do I have on my iPad? There's not too many, man, that you would think are weird. I have
Infinity Blade, and that's an awesome game, and a lot of people don't know about it because they're not in the iOS game.
Yeah.
But it's a really good game.
I think that might be Plants vs. Zombies, man. That might be
Plants
vs.
Zombies. You know, and I wouldn't have ever expected Arctic to play Plants vs. Zombies, so that's cool.
I got a game that you can make your guilty pleasure. My wife plays it on her iPad endlessly. Look up Dragon Veil.
Oh, I play that too.
Yeah, you breed dragons.
It's like, I want to say it's like Jurassic Park Operation Genesis, but minus all the dinosaur creation. It just kind of feels like that. You have like these islands and you have habitats that can hold certain dragons. Like you have like an earth habitat that can hold earth type dragons and a fire habitat that can hold fire type dragons. And then they accumulate cash for you because it's almost like a theme park, I guess, because you have tourists that come there and then they get cash for you. And then as you get more cash, you can buy more props and more islands and more habitats. You can buy different eggs and then you can like breed dragons. I'm going off topic here.
It's okay.
I'm done. Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of what it is in a nutshell. It's like a dragon tycoon.
I'll end it with my wife is totally obsessed with that game.
Dragon Veil. Okay, I'm going to have to check it out.
Well, and, you know, definitely like to thank you for getting on here and talking to us and giving us some more information. The more you talked about Loadout, the more excited I am for it. So hopefully I see a beta key pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we're able to ramp up a lot faster with the new network in terms of getting the beta rolled out to everyone. But so far, like I said, everyone has really had a ball playing, and it's been nice to play some people outside of the studio. It's kind of difficult being the best player in the studio and whipping up on the programmers and engineers and all that stuff. So
I would never have that problem.
Actually, you know what? You made me think about something here. Servers, are you guys going to have your own servers? Or is it going to be web hosted? How are you working that?
Okay, so sure I believe the servers are dedicated right now.
Okay.
I don't know if we can discuss right now with who they're dedicated through, but yeah, they are dedicated servers, and we are using a matchmaking system. So
that's
very nice.
That's awesome. That's going to be, yeah, that's. And see, I'm already sold on it. I don't have to buy it, and I don't have to pay to play it, which is amazing. It's
yes.
just awesome.
I'm not quite sold on it.
Such a downer.
And I'll take a brief amount of time to tell you why. I mean, the only really exposure I've had to Loadout was Yeche's little voiceover trailer that he did, which is I find quite entertaining. But it definitely does remind me of Team Fortress 2. But the way you described it, Arctic, it kind of reminds me of Ratchet and Clank with all the crazy weapons. Of course, you can't customize weapons in Ratchet and Clank. But that's kind of what I have in my head. But I'm not really sold on it. I'm not really a big PC gamer, but maybe I'll check it out one day. But that's just kind of what I got going through my head as far as what Loadout is. But it definitely seems like a very versatile, unique game that I'm sure a lot of people will definitely enjoy playing. That's all.
It's interesting. Ratchet and Clank. Hmm.
Yeah.
That's a weird comparison.
Yeah.
I remember
the sheep gun or whatever, but I don't think you'll be firing sheep on Loadout. But it'd be kind of funny if you could.
Yeah.
Sheep cannon. Yeah.
I do have one question in some of the things that I've heard about this game thus far, is that you can play it either with your mouse and keyboard or a controller.
Or controller, uh-huh.
Right, okay. My question to you is, you've got some experience playing the game. Do you see any advantage one way or the other?
Sure. This is the whole PC versus controller, mouse and keyboard versus controller thing.
Yes.
So with controller, in my opinion, it's always easier to move and platform. And, you know, that's just been my experience playing Unreal on you know, Dreamcast and Xbox 360 with Unreal Tournament. And then trying to play it on PC, it's always easier to move around the maps. But aiming and precision is always better mouse and keyboard. So that's the best way I can say it. It's no different on this game. If you one of the limitations of the controller is your aim sensitivity. You really can't jack it up as much as you want, and you don't have that same, like if you have a quick twitch weapon like a rocket launcher and you have someone behind you, for example, and you use a controller, no matter how fast you you turn up your sensitivity on the controller, you're not going to outturn a keyboard and mouse. So that's one of the things that you notice when you do the crossover as much as I do.
Okay. And that makes sense. I've heard the same thing from many other people that do a lot of PC gaming.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to be a PC gamer long before I started going to consoles, and going from a mouse and keyboard to a controller was confusing as hell for a very, very long time. But now I've been playing consoles so long, I went and tried to play Team Fortress 2, and I was horrible. My left hand and my mouse hand were just, like, retarded, and they wouldn't talk to each other. And it was just a very hard transition.
Yeah, I'd say you have to be really adamant about playing both if you want to be able to keep your quick twitch and muscle memory with both, so I do a nice balance, so that's my assessment of it, I guess. Yeah, I mean, funny that you mentioned that. We actually were developing for console before we went free-to-play. That's one of the reasons we have the controller support, but I don't know if we're going to revisit that. I'm surprised you guys didn't ask. But that's...
Yeah, you know...
It was on my mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking, well, you know... PC games when they're free to play, I mean, that's
yeah, there's really no model right now on consoles for free to play. It's just you can't do it. It's just not there.
But that's one of the reasons, main reasons why I didn't ask, is because I saw free to play and I just assumed with if it's free to play, making people on consoles pay for it, just it's seemed a little kind of.
That's like not fair. It's like, well, why did they do it?
I wouldn't go as far as not fair, but I know how the fan base goes, and yeah. there would be a lot of uproar. Like, why do we have to pay for it if it's free on the PC? You know,
right?
Yeah.
Well, didn't that happen with Minecraft?
No,
Minecraft was never free to play, dude.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just like something you can just find somewhere in the dark corner of the internet. And
you,
can
you probably could.
No, but close to there, it might be legal. Monday Night Combat.
Well, like I meant like Night a like a legitimate site. That's what I mean. Oh, but
no,
I'm wrong.
Yeah, the beta was free until they actually finished it, and then once it went, then they need to pay to play.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Arctic?
I said the only thing that's really the closest one is probably Monday Night Combat, which was you had to pay for that. But then they went free to play with Super Monday Night Combat on Steam and PC, but there's no Super Monday Night Combat on the consoles. So the equivalent would be Monday Night Combat is something that you have to pay for. Yeah. Super Monday Night Combat is something that is free to play.
So it's,
I have that game.
Is it probably better for PC?
Yeah, because seems like... there's some things that obviously that kind of deviates from the conversation, but there's some things that you can't roll out patches as frequently on console as you can on PC. They actually charge developers to release patches after the first one. So, you know, if you ever wonder why a game has stopped being patched by the developers, it's usually not because they don't want to. It's because it costs tens of thousands of dollars to do it.
Oh, my
word. Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. You know, the console's getting close to the end of its life. You know, and a lot of people are going PC, so PC is kind of the way to go right now anyway. I'm playing more PC games than I ever have in the past just because it's more available, the software is better, the games are getting better, and you get these access to indie developers like these guys doing Loadout. That's just, to me, I think it's a lot of fun because it's something that's completely different, you know, and this is going to be great. It's a free game. It looks great. It looks like it plays great. Arctic has been involved in it. You know, he's behind everything on it, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think that's way everything is going now, that PC gaming is starting to gain popularity once again. So anyway, I wanted to say thanks to Arctic for being on the show. Had to interrupt his day, visit with his family for a half hour or so. But we really appreciate you being on here, Arctic.
No problem.
It was quite a surprise. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And that should do it for this special Loadout edition of the Warhouse Podcast, and we'll talk to you guys soon.